Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you happy? Hallelujah. Which is probably hallelujah in some language somewhere in the world. Before I begin to share great news, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown is coming to San Diego. And he's going to be at the Morris Cirillo Legacy International Center on Friday the 12th. At 7 in the evening, and you can spend the night. There's a local hotel there. And then Saturday at 9:30 and 2:30. So we'll start promoting it. We'll send all the details out. He's got some a beautiful promo video about it. But I always told Pastor Rodney, do you realize you're a biblical person? Like, he's a man of biblical proportion, really. He's in my opinion, the most anointed man of God on the planet. Incredible miracles, signs, and wonders. He's led millions to Jesus. He's such a generous person. Last year, he sowed $125,000 into Save the World Foundation. I mean, so he helped us lead so many souls. He funded us for a few months. He sowed $10,000 to Cody's tennis. So the guy is such a generous man. He's not just one of these great preachers that preach incredible. He really lives it. He has incredible generosity. They have a 12,000-seater pavilion at their church in Tampa. And they just finished building, and they paid him $11 million cash. Their building, they extended their building. It's now a 3,000-seater building. And they've got an 11,000-seater pavilion, and they've got so many more things planned. You think I put you guys under pressure. He puts his congregation under pressure because he's always coming up with incredible things to win souls and finance the kingdom of God. And he's been a very good friend of mine since 2000. And so 20 years now, I've stayed at his house. I've traveled with him. We're personal friends. He's the funniest person in the body of Christ. Like, he is funny. Some of you think I'm funny. He's funnier. So if you're looking for some good entertainment, no. If you're looking to hear some amazing preaching from a man who's really got the best sense of humor, that's May the 12th in San Diego. People can carpool. Those that want to spend the night so you don't have to drive through the next day. So I really encourage that. Amen. Amen. Apart from salvation, healing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and probably finding your purpose in life, those are probably arguably the big ones, you know, that you want to have in your life. You want to be saved, amen. You want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You want to believe in divine healing in case, God forbid, the devil attacks you and he attacks all of God's children. And you want to know why you're here on earth, correct? Do you want to know why you're here? Now, that is so easily available for every believer so that you can have an amazing life. But the Lord wants to use you to share the gospel. And often when pastors, preachers, evangelists encourage and stir people up to win souls, normally people don't know how to do it. So what I want to do today, I want to teach you what to say when you have to lead someone to Jesus. Amen? It's like you could have the world's greatest product, you know, iPhone, laptops, cars. Now, all those products have salespeople that have to know how to share the details of those products to the customer. So in the same way, we need to know how to share the gospel and lead people to Jesus, especially those that are open to it and want to get saved. So we're not there to confuse people or to make it seem so impossible to receive Jesus. We are there to help people find Jesus quickly. Amen. Now, when you are talking to a human, it's important that you connect with people. Sometimes some Christians are so weird, I don't even want to be around them. And definitely humans don't want to receive from weird Christians, because they're going to think, well, you need this, definitely, but I'm okay. So what you need to do when you talk into another human is that you need to find common ground with them. You need to find something that you can connect with them. Maybe they're wearing a t-shirt. I love, you know, a sport, whatever sports team, and say you like that sports team. You can connect, and like 10 minutes later, the person like loves you more than they love their cousin, because their cousin is another sports team. Their cousin supports the Clippers. They support the Lakers. You love the Lakers. They love you. And now you've connected on a natural basis. Now they're willing to talk to you. They're willing to interact with you. So what you want to do, step one, is you want to find common ground. Amen. Now, one of the ways you can approach a person is that most people, whether they believe in the Lord or not, kind of believe that there's a God out there. And even if they're not too sure there's a God out there, they'll even want you to pray with them. So prayer can be a very powerful thing in opening the door to share the gospel with someone. Now, I remember in the church I used to serve, we played the blame game. Because there were was like 200 staff members, it was a mega church, 30, 40,000 member church. To get anyone to do anything was like pulling teeth. Why do you think I'm bald? Because I was losing it with some of those people. But what I used to do often, obviously I needed the, I had to have had the permission, but I would always say, Pastor Ray said, that was a senior pastor. So I needed something done with the TV department. Good luck. Pastor Ray said, I need this, but okay, no, okay, no, no, not a problem. I'm doing a crusade. In 2 months' time, I need the art department to do some graphics. Pastor Ray said, okay. So I'm giving you permission to blame me so you can play the blame game. I'm commanding you guys to go into all the world and pray with people, preach to people. So when you approach people in the next few hours or the next few days or whenever you talk to a human, you can say, my pastor said that we need to go into the community and pray for people. Please, can I pray for you? Do you have anything in your life? You need a miracle? You need God to do something? You have a need? That's your way in. Most people will say, yes, pray for me. Some people will say, I'm not sure. Not a problem. Can I just pray for you anyway? God will show me what to pray for you. Now, everyone needs prayer for their family, for their finances, for their work, for their mental stability, for protection. So you can pray for them. Father God, I just pray for Bobby right now. I pray that you protect him. I thank you, Lord, that you help him to make wise decisions. I thank you that you protect his health. I thank you that you bless him and his family in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what have you done? You've shifted the conversation from the natural to the spiritual. Now they're more open to talk about spiritual things. So if you perceive you have time with that person, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or however long, then you can really go into the whole gospel. But if you haven't got a lot of time, you may not have time to share your testimony, and your testimony really helps to connect with a person. You can go straight into sharing about God, which I'll get into. But let's just say you have all the time in the world. I want you to talk to them about God. Now, some of you might be thinking, but how can I pray for a person that's a non-believer? Is God going to do a miracle for this person? I'm so glad you asked. Romans chapter 2, verses 4, do you despise the riches of his goodness? And this is written to Christian, to believers, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So when people see that God is a good God, that he answers prayer, that he's not in heaven sitting with a big stick waiting to smack them on the head, but God actually does a miracle for them, they're more likely to want to follow this Jesus. Like in many crusades, you'll pray for people, people will get healed, and only then will they get saved. Because God wants to show them that he's a good God. So I'm going to teach you the basic structure of sharing the gospel. And then when you are in different situations, don't be a slave to the gospel structure. You be spirit-led what you need at that time. Like those of you that are involved in sports, you know, at different parts of the game, you need different tools. They say, what's in your toolkit? So the first 10 minutes playing soccer or playing tennis or doing golf, you know, as it progresses, as the pressure, you need to use different tactics to win. Legal tactics, of course. So when you're sharing the gospel with someone and you say, hey, you know, have you got, how much time do you have? No, I only have 10 minutes. Well, then you can't spend 9 minutes sharing your testimony. Because then they're going to think, oh, brother, you needed this Jesus. Like, you were loco. You were crazy, dude. But if you perceive that you've only got a short time, then you do what's called the elevator pitch. Like in business, what's your elevator pitch? You got 2 or 3 minutes? What's it all about? So in the same way, when I sense I only have 3 minutes with someone, you're in the elevator, a literal elevator. The Lord is saying, tell these three guys, I love them. You've only got 3 minutes to do it. I'm going to teach you how to do it. Now, why it's important to share your personal testimony, once again, you connect with the person, you relate to the person, because the person's thinking maybe you've got it all together. Maybe you've come out of a business meeting or you in your three-piece suit, you're looking smooth. People that you're sharing with that aren't looking too smooth are going to think like, dude, you don't relate to me. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know where I live. So by you sharing your testimony will earn you the right to share the gospel with them. So generally, if you've got like 20 or 30 minutes, only share like 3 minutes your testimony. Maximum 5. Because you want to get into the meat of the gospel. Amen? So what is your testimony? Your testimony is, what was your life like before Jesus? How did you receive Jesus? And how awesome is your life now? Now, I just did a mass WhatsApp group text to everyone. All the notes that I'm sharing with today are there, but we'll email it as well. There's going to be some scriptures behind me, but I more want you to grab the essence of what I want to say, and then I want you to go through the notes. Amen? Why do we share our testimony? Well, Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him, who's him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. So that's us sharing the gospel about Jesus and the word of their testimony. So that's like a double whammy to the person. You're sharing about Jesus, but you're sharing how Jesus changed your life. And no one can argue your personal testimony. No one, I've never heard anyone say, no, that didn't really happen to you. And when you share from your heart, they can sense that you're speaking the truth. The Holy Spirit is going to say to them, to their spirit, he's telling the truth. Listen to what he has to say. Now, I've shared it before, but some people have normal testimonies of their upbringing. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home, a wonderful Christian home. There was no trauma. There was no drug addiction. There was no alcoholism. There was no beatings. But that's a testimony. That's a testimony of God's goodness. And a lot of people in this world haven't been through that kind of stuff. So what you'll mainly find, you'll probably end up sharing the gospel with a lot of people that haven't, that have had similar experiences with you. And for those that have had rough lives growing up, what you'll most likely find is that the Lord will connect you to people that have gone through similar experiences with you. That's why I often will bump into Jewish people, because the Lord knows a Jewish person's going to hear the gospel more from a Jew than maybe someone with another cultural background. And if you're from Africa, you'll suddenly, you know, you order Uber, the taxi driver's from Africa. You go to Starbucks, the cashier's from Africa. Or Persia, or wherever it is. That's because the Lord knows who you have to meet at that moment in time. Now, the very same way that you would go to a doctor and the doctor, you know, does his tests on you, or she does her tests on you to find out what's wrong with you, as a soul winner, we need to find out where that person is at spiritually. So you go to the doctor, put out your tongue, they put the thing, high blood pressure. Okay, now we have to take blood. Then they're like hitting you, they're checking you out because they want to find out what's maybe wrong with you so they can treat you accordingly. So in the same way, God has put you in front of this person for a reason, to lead them to Jesus, but you have to find out where they're at spiritually, and you have to be able to communicate with them so they know where they're at spiritually, so they're willing to make an adjustment. So the doctor can give the world's greatest prescription. This is Dr. Liebowitz, the leading heart surgeon in the world. You having heart problems, you need the surgery. The doctor says you need to do this, this, and this. We're going to schedule you for an operation. And you don't show up. Does that mean the doctor's not a good doctor? No, you weren't listening to the doctor. Especially if the doctor said, now, do you understand? You need to come back here in 3 days' time. This is serious. You could die. No, doctor, I'll be here. Okay, just to confirm, your medical aid is paying for everything. You don't have to raise any money for this operation. You just need to show up here on Wednesday at 12 o'clock, and Wednesday night, we're going to operate. You go home, you tell your wife, no, I'm not too sure about this doctor. You know, it's interfering with my golf trip. I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Palm Springs to play golf. Well, if you die, it's on you. So spiritually, we need to find out what they're trusting in. So question number one, so you say to the person, hey, Bobby, do you mind if I ask you a question? No, sure, ask me the question. Now, God forbid, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but God forbid you walk across the street and a huge truck smashes you and you die. Do you know for certain if you're going to go to heaven? Yes, no, maybe, I'm not sure. Give him some time to think about it, right? So you've shared your testimony, you've spoken about Jesus. Now you zooming in on their spirituality. You want to find out what they believe. So you ask them the question, if you were to die today, do you know for sure if you're going to go to heaven? Have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die today, you're going to go to heaven? And even in asking all of you guys this question, maybe write it down what your answer would be. Yes, do you believe you're going to heaven? Or no, you don't believe you're going to heaven? Or you're not sure? Or let me say, what do you think the requirements are to get to heaven? No, I don't really believe in heaven. I don't believe there's a heaven. Okay, let's just suppose there was a heaven. What do you think the requirements are to get into the place? So you want to evoke some kind of a response. Now you know what they believe. If they say 100% I'm going to heaven, does that mean they're going to heaven? Yes or no? No. Until question two. But if they say I'm not sure, maybe, who knows, definitely not, then they're definitely not going to heaven. That's why you're there. You're there to help them get to heaven. Question number two. So Bobby, suppose you, for the sake of the argument, I know you don't believe there's a heaven, but suppose you were to stand before God, or let's just say it's even a Christian, you stand before God. Now you're not in heaven yet. You're standing at the pearly gates. And they say, why? God says, why should I allow you into my heaven? What would your answer be? So I want you to even think about it right now. Why should God allow you into heaven? What have you done for me lately? You know that song. What have you done for God to get into heaven? Why do you deserve to get into heaven? And this is to see what the person is trusting in to get into heaven. What are they trusting in? So you can get them to write it down. Often when we go to school, we get them to write it down. But when I'm sharing the gospel one-on-one with the person, they'll respond to me, oh, Jared, I believe I'm going to heaven. You know, I'm a really good person. I go to church. I read my Bible. I go to visit sick people in hospital. I'm involved in prison ministry. I'm involved in the feeding scheme over there. Wow, that's incredible. You're an amazing person. Wow. So let me just clarify. If God said, why should I allow you into heaven? Your answer would be, because you're a really good person. You help the hungry. You go to the prison ministry. You go to church. You read your Bible. Is that why God should allow you into heaven? Yes. Okay, just wanted to clarify that. So now you must remember their answer. So just make a mental note or write it down. If you're not sure you can remember, write it down. Because like any good lawyer, you want to use it against them in a court of law. So those are the two spiritual questions. Now in essence comes the gospel. And the gospel is, God loves you, Bobby. I'm making up this name, Bobby, because there's no Bobby in the church. So why was he talking to me? God loves you and wants to have a personal relationship with you. Now, straight away, that's going to blow a fuse in people's minds, because most people think, like I did, God's in heaven running the universe, making sure the planets don't collide. And maybe there are very few special people on earth that he may talk to, but certainly not me. So when you share with someone that God loves them, it gives them amazing hope. And remember, when you share in the gospel, the Holy Spirit is with you convincing this person. You're not just convincing them mentally. The Holy Spirit is touching them. He's telling the truth. She's telling the truth. their spirit inside of them, the real them that's dead spiritually, wants to come alive. It's like when your car's dead, the batteries are dead, you call AAA, they come and it's like a defibrillator. It comes, the heart comes back to life. So their spirit wants to come alive, but only through Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is convicting them. Now, sometimes their mind will get in the way. They'll throw a curveball at you. They want you to get off track sharing the gospel, but you have to be laser focused. They'll ask you questions. And even if you know the answer, don't go there, because we're not there to show them how smart we are. Oh, but what about this and what about that? How come, you know, what about people in the middle of the ocean living on an island who don't know about Jesus? Are they going to go to hell or heaven? You know what? That is a brilliant question, Bobby. I'm going to come back to you. Let me just continue, and I'm going to come back. You forget about it. Bobby forgets about it. Like, I've never had anyone say, but I remember that question. Like, it's just a distraction. So, Bobby, imagine the God that created the heavens, the earth, the mountains, the trees, the animals. That God wants to be personally involved in your life. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says, for God so loved the world, for God so loved Bobby, you. He cares about every aspect of your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, he wants to be actively involved in your life. Isn't that amazing, Bobby? And in fact, he wants to give you a gift, his love. But there's a problem. Problemo, there's a big problemo. You know what the problem is? The problem, Bobby, is sin. What is sin? Sin is us falling short of God's perfect standard. If you lie, that's a sin. If you cheat, that's a sin. And the Bible says we've all sinned. Every man, woman, and child. In fact, you don't need to teach someone to sin. You don't need to teach a kid. Now, kid, this is how you need to be mischievous. This is what you need to do. You need to pick up the ball and throw it and break something. When your mother or father says, do something, don't do it. No, it comes naturally, because every person is born with a sin nature. So God loves you. But the sin, if there's a napkin or something or a sweater, God loves you, but the sin separates you from having a relationship with God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Psalm 51 verses 3, there is no one perfect, not even one. And Psalm 51 verses 1, in sin my mother conceived me. Now, when you're sharing the gospel with someone, don't just regurgitate scripture to impress them, because they don't know scripture. But just you saying to them, the Bible says, they're not going to say, I've never had someone show me where in the Bible it says that. Show me, where does it say in sin my mother conceived me? And the Bible says in Exodus 34:7, he will by no means let the guilty go unpunished. And Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So God loves you. He wants a relationship. But Bobby, it's the sin. The sin. Now, Bobby, do you like omelets? Yeah, I love omelets. Okay. Imagine we're going to make an omelet. We crack open 6 eggs. Egg number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4. We've got all the goodies that are going to go in this omelet. Oh, it's looking nice. But there's one more egg, the 6th egg. But it's a smelly, rotten, bloody, pussy, disgusting egg. But I crack it open. I put it into the omelet. I'm stirring it. I'm singing Bocelli. We got Bocelli in the background. The breeze going through the kitchen. Oh, Bobby, it's so good. Thanks for visiting me. Oh, long time no see. This egg. Mm. Mwah. Jamie Oliver. Oh, those guys would, they're not, this is an omelet of all. Mara would be very impressed with this amazing omelet. And then I serve it up to you. Would you eat it? Yes or no? Why not? Why wouldn't you eat it? Because that what? But they're 5 perfectly good eggs. Everything that goes in. But that one disgusting egg contaminated the whole batch. So now, Johnny, you told me you're a good person. You go to church, you read your Bible, you give money to the poor, you go to the prisons, you do all these great things. But what about the rotten eggs in your life? And the psychologists say we think thousands of thoughts a day. Now imagine you just do 3 bad things a day. Most people do 3 bad things before they leave the house. But you do 3 bad things, you'd pretty much be an angel the whole day. Only 3 things. And remember, there's sins of commission, but there are also sins of omission. Things that you should have done that you didn't do. It wouldn't seem so bad, Bobby, but Bobby, in 1 year, that's 1,000 sins. Say you live until 80, that's 80,000 sins. Imagine standing before a judge in the court of law with 80,000 offenses. Take Bobby and throw the key away. You're not getting out of it. So in the same way, God loves you. He wants that relationship, but it's the sin. How do we deal with the sin? Bobby, there's a solution. God solved the problem in the person of Jesus. Jesus, his son, came from heaven to earth. Now, when you're sharing about Jesus, the 2 main things about Jesus is who Jesus is and what Jesus did. So who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He did many miracles, opened the eyes of the blind, turned water into wine, made the cripples walk, raised the dead, fed 20,000 people. All who he is and what he did specifically is what he did on the cross. So you share all the great things Jesus did. But then what Jesus did is concerning the cross. How they grabbed Jesus, beat him, whipped him 39 times, put him on the cross, outstretched his hands, his feet, nailed him to the cross. He was buried. 1 day went by, 2 days went by. On the 3rd day, he rose from the dead and he's alive. That's what Jesus did. Bobby, isn't this amazing? So now you're telling this person or this group of people, and now you need to wrap it up. Now that you've shared the gospel with Bobby, Bambi, Johnny, Susie, Mary, a group of people, what you need to do is, you need to go back to those 2 original questions. Bobby, remember when I asked you if you were to die today, do you know if you'd go to heaven? You said, who knows? I'm not sure. Can you now see that it's possible to go to heaven? Not based on what you've done, because remember question number 2, I said, suppose there are requirements to get into heaven. What do you think the requirements would be? And you said, well, you have to be a good person and follow God's commands and help people and this and that. Well, the Bible calls that good works. And the Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags. The Bible says it's by grace that we save, not of works. So can you see that the only way you're going to get to heaven is not based on what you can do, but based on what Jesus has already done? So Bobby, does this make sense to you? Yeah. So what's needed now? Now remember, you the doctor, you're giving the prescription. You've isolated what's wrong with Bobby. So Bobby, what you need to do is transfer your trust. Stop trusting in yourself to get to heaven based on your good works and transfer your trust to Jesus. Now, there's something called the chair illustration. So imagine there's a chair over here. I know the chair's all over. So you say, hey, Bobby, can you see that chair over there? Yeah. Well, do you think if you were to go and sit in that chair, it's going to hold you up? He says, well, of course. I say, well, you don't know for sure. The only way you're going to know if that chair can hold you up is if you go and sit in it. Maybe I booby-trap the chair. I cut it. It's a prank. As soon as you sit, you fall over. We all chuckle, laugh. So now let's just say your chair represents you and everything you're trusting in. You've got to get out of your chair and go and sit in the Jesus chair. And you can even like help them sit in the chair like three chairs away. Now sit over there. Doesn't that feel good? It didn't collapse. So that's what you need to do spiritually, Bobby. You need to transfer your trust from yourself to Jesus. You need to acknowledge that he is who he is, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, that he's alive, and simply give your life to him. Does this make sense? Yes. Okay, let's pray. Now, how easy is that? But when I first got saved, I would spend an hour sharing my testimony and half an hour arguing and maybe half an hour not knowing what to do. But when you learn the structure, it's a structure. Stick to the structure. Like in sport, in golf, in tennis, in baseball, how you hold the racket, how you kick, how you punch. There's a basic structure. And when you're in war, things may differ, alter a little bit, but you're sticking to the general structure. You're praying with someone to connect with them. You're sharing your testimony to connect with them and show that you were a dirty, rotten scoundrel, but how Jesus saved you. Then they're thinking, well, I'm also a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Maybe this Jesus can save me. And normally, the more I perceived I'm talking to, like, what's that song, Bad to the Bone? You know that song? If I think this person is a bad boy or a bad girl, I go more hectic into my testimony. Like when I shared in a juvenile prison in South Africa, I told them all my bad. And I said, guys, the only difference between you and me, you guys got caught. I got off. But Jesus. So depending on the person, sometimes you don't want to, sometimes it can be too much. So sometimes hold back a little bit on how bad you were, okay? Especially if it's in the house, they're going to be thinking, did I put my jewelry away? Did I lock the safe? They say they need the restroom. Maybe they're going into my room to steal my jewelry. So just be spirit-led. Oh, gosh. And then you say, let's pray. So they close their eyes. They might not close it fully, depending on how bad your testimony. they're holding onto their ring, their Rolex. Okay, I'll pray. Just get my hand back. Honey, get my hand back before we pray. It's like, So then you lead them in a prayer. Oh, do you want to pray? You really want to receive Jesus? Yes. Okay, let's pray. So now you lead them in the prayer. So everyone close your eyes. You tell them to close their eyes and you pray this prayer with them. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross to take my sins away. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So that is what it means to lead someone to Jesus. Amen. Now that you've led them to Jesus, there's some quick things I want you to encourage them to do. Number one, encourage them to read their Bibles. Encourage them to go to church. Encourage them to tell people about Jesus. And get their contact details. Even if they live really far away, another city, like give it to us. Maybe we know someone in that city where they can go to your church. And especially if they live in your city, text them, call them, invite them to come to church. Amen? Are you ready to win souls? Amen. Amen. So I want us to pray right now for the Lord to give us divine opportunities and for the Lord to send people to us and for us to go to people that really need him. I think we can all agree we don't want to waste time on the wrong people. We want to be Spirit-led. Who's open? Lord, show me today. Send people on my path today. We recently moved, so there's a lot of fixing up in the house. And I don't know what it is. It's like chumming. You know what chumming is? When when fishermen are looking for sharks, they throw all this blood in and the sharks come. So a lot of people fixing houses. I don't know if our house has a flag that said, come and get a, give us a quote or something. But this really sweet guy came and, solar panels on Friday nights. And I said, oh, no, we're actually doing solar panels through someone else. And I got to speak to him and I got to share the gospel with him. And then the Jewish guy that actually is doing the solar panels, we shared the gospel with him. We gave him a book called They Thought for Themselves, a book with all Jewish people in who receive Jesus, not like their stories of how they receive Jesus. So I'm saying, Lord, let them keep coming to my house to quote me. Now be careful who you let in. This individual, I was watering the garden, so he came past. I got into a conversation. But ask the Lord for divine appointments. And even when we go out on Wednesday night, we'll meet you at the church and then say, Lord, show me who on the way there, maybe show me who you want me to share with. And the Lord's going to highlight someone. It's like a magnet. Have you ever put two magnets together? You feel like, oh, and then they attract. So as you go to one of the local malls, you'll see someone sitting down. You'll see someone maybe looking distraught. Someone waiting for a bus. Oh, when's the next bus coming? No, only in 20 minutes. You've got 20 minutes to share the gospel. Or go to the bank. Go to the bank with the longest line. And wait until you're halfway so that they're not going to want to leave the line. And then give them true riches. Amen. Or when you go to a sports game. Or better yet, I mean, when you're in a bus or a taxi or an airplane. Well, an airplane, they're not going anywhere. They're stuck. Yeah. I'll never forget this one Jewish, and I'm going to close with this. I don't know where I was going, but I'm sitting next to a Jewish girl. And the anointing on me for telling jokes, I was just so funny. I'm like, I wish I was recording this. This is good stuff. Like, and I'm talking about Seinfeld and funny things that happened in Seinfeld when the kid had to have a bris, you know, the circumcision. And I'm telling all these funny, geez, I'm cracking, like, I've got like five good Jewish jokes. I'm telling all these Jewish jokes. And now there's like 15 minutes and we're going to be landing. And the Lord is like, okay, you've made her laugh. Now give it to her. I'm like, Lord, I don't know if she's going to be happy. She's laughing so much, Lord. You know the laughter's going to change, like probably. And I said, you know, we've been talking a lot, but let me actually tell you, like, I as you know, I'm Jewish. Hello, I got the schnoz to prove it. Davidoff, you can't get more Jewish. I've told all the Jewish jokes. And I shared the gospel with her. And she was not happy. She didn't look at me, but I kept sharing and sharing and sharing. And it was actually so funny. I actually had like a great book on me to give her, right? But as soon as the airplane stopped, she didn't want to be near me. She was like trying to get away from me. So she was like five or six people down. And you know, like you all have to stand there like, how long is this going to take? And I found this book and and I said, like, hey, I just want to give you this book. And she screamed out, I don't want it. And people thought I'm trying to get her number or something. Like, hey, can we get together? Like, what's your number? Like, no, I don't want your number, you know. But this one evangelist said, popularity is something you use up telling the truth. Ultimately, like, are we going to be friends with this person for 23 years and never tell them about Jesus and they go to hell? We don't want their blood on our hands. So we need to warn people, whether it's an email you send them, you write them a letter and send it to them, text them, send them videos about Jesus. Or give us their address. We'll send them something. They want to know it came from you. We'll send them seven different books every month about Jesus. But whatever it takes to lead people to Jesus. But I wanted today to be an equipping. And what I want you guys to do is practice. Practice asking those questions to people that you feel safe with. Like your family, your friends. I've shared this in youth groups and we print it out, we give it to the kids and they go home and say, hey, I've been given homework to do. So let me say that with you. Guys, I'm giving you homework. You have to share this presentation with 100,000 people personally. It's your homework to pass the course. So you can blame me again. I'm in this course. They've given me homework to do. I have to learn this presentation. I hope I get through it. Do you mind if I practice on you? There's just two questions and I have to do this 15-minute presentation. Jehovah's sneaky. Yeah, sure. Okay, now you're with your cousin Betty. Betty, and I'm sending you this so you can literally read it. Let me just see. They said I must do this. They said I must share my testimony for 3 to 5 minutes. Okay, let me give it a go. How does that sound, Betty? Wow, I never knew that about you. Betty, question number one. Wow, this is quite a question. Betty, if you were to die today, do you know if you're going to go to heaven? I'm in this course. I have to ask a question. I have to share it with 100,000 people. You, number one. Question number two. Then you share about God. the omelet illustration, nah. Imagine we're making a beautiful linguine and this and that, and the last few shrimps are disgusting. Would you eat it? Ew. And then you, Jesus. Okay, I need to share about Jesus. Jesus. Then I need to share. Oh, Betty, remember, I had to write it down. Wow, Betty, that's quite. Betty, remember when you said you're going to heaven? Mm-mm. Because you got question number two wrong, Kazi. You said, let me quote, I will definitely go to heaven because I'm the best person in my family, the most generous person in my family, the best sense of humor. I always visit cousins in hospital. That's why I'm going to heaven. Betty, you're going to hell, girl. But you can get out of it if you receive Jesus, because right now you're trusting in yourself to get to heaven. How about shifting? Let me illustrate. Betty, do you see that chair over there? So guys, you can practice. They won't even know that you're actually sharing the gospel. Amen? That's where Jesus said, be as wise as serpents. So you've all got homework to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, we thank you for divine appointments this week, that you will send people along our path, Lord. People at school, work, when we shopping, when we exercising, sports, mothers or fathers of our kids, all different kinds of people, construction workers, gardeners, nannies, whoever it may be, Father God. Whoever it may be, Father God. Send them to us, Lord, and help us to share your love with them, Father. In Jesus' name. And if there's anyone here today and you've never made a decision, or you're watching, you've never made that decision, you've never transferred your trust to Jesus, but you want to do it right now, please pray this prayer. Let's all pray it together. Say, Jesus, I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross to take my sins away. I believe you were buried and that you rose from the dead and you are alive. I give my life to you, my spirit, my soul, and my body. Everything I have, everything I am, I give to you. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.